Thank you. My name is Ed Zastro. I live at 3530 Denali Avenue. I represent the Ketchikan Senior Citizen Services. We own the senior center here in Ketchikan and a senior housing development north of town, president of our local chapter of AARP, and extremely active in the Pioneer Homes. I understand somewhat the situation of the state budget, and I'd like to thank you all for having to deal with the shortfalls. As an ex-elected official of 15 years, I can appreciate your efforts. I am in support of the proposed budgeted monies for our senior populations and their immediate needs, not once. There's a serious situation for the many needed programs now in place, as I understand many are scheduled for reduction. An example is I'm in total support of the senior care program. That basic money, which small amount of money it is for the basic needs of those seniors. In the supermarket the other day, a lady was buying veggies. She had to decide with the minimum amount of money she had, was she going to buy vegetables this week or next week? And the same, of course, went for the situation with fresh fruits. A base need program. Other programs that give you examples of, can I get to the doctor's office this morning or must I cancel because my ride is not available? A base need program. The temperature of my living quarters when I get home. Heating programs, base need. Help getting into the bathtub and out, home care. And the needs-based programs continue. I ask you to carefully look and with compassion to the funding of these needed base programs. The question then comes, where do we get this money? Where can we reduce spending? I would look strongly to duplication of services, unfilled staff positions, and have the had and the nice to have items especially. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Juanita Diaz-Camillion, followed by Bonnie Wright.
First of all, my name is Juanita Diaz-Camillion, not Chameleon. Those are lizards.
Excuse me, ma'am.
I'm 84 years old. My health is rather shaky because of diabetes. But I'm here in support of the not Rendezvous Daycare Center. It's for us old folks. And Rendezvous is a blessing for us rather old people. It is a place to go to every day rather than stay at home, clean house, or moon over our infirmities. I almost said infidelity. Our people come here a little scared of something different. That's the new people. Our staff of four always do everything to make everybody feel at home. After a while, the new clients make overtures towards the other clients make overtures towards the newcomers, and pretty soon they're smiling and joining us in our activities as much as they can. The staff of the Rendezvous consists of Bobby Kissinger, Sandra Anthony, Debbie Ferguson, and our director, Alicia Kelly King. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, ma'am. Bonnie Wright, followed by Leica King Kelly.
This is Alicia Kelly King. I'm the executive director for the Rendezvous Senior Day Service, and I'm here representing the Senior Services, Rendezvous Senior Day Service. Three of the staff is here with me, and six of the seniors that attend here, I am humbly representing them also. The Adult Day Center is a place for older adults who can no longer manage independently or who are isolated and lonely. These day centers enable seniors to socialize with others while still receiving needed care services. At the same time, our center allows caregivers a much-needed respite care from the caregiving duties that they have. Most of our people, 90% of our people, do not have families at home to care for them. They come to us alone. They leave at night alone. But during the day, they're with us, and they receive nutritious food, healthy activities. We have fun. We make apple butter and apple jelly, and we make use of the very valuable skills and the talents that these people have. These seniors that come to the senior day service sometimes have Alzheimer's, sometimes have dementia, sometimes have physical problems that they need help with, and that's what this day center allows them to do. These are the people, I want to gently remind you, that these are the people that built Alaska. These are the people that made this state what it is, and it is our duty and our honor to take care of them. I'm asking you to please reinstate that $500,000 to the adult day services so that we can be those people. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Was Bonnie right there to testify?
I think she's going to just not.
Okay.
She wants to be supportive
of the rendezvous. Thank you. Okay, Mark Osborne, followed by Anita Maxwell.
I'm Mark Osborne. I'm going to defer to Stuart White, Development Director of KRBD.
Hi, I'm Stuart White, Development Director from KRBD Community Radio here in Ketchikan. In preparing to testify today, I started considering what makes public radio unique. I've seen both sides of the coin. I worked at a commercial station here in Ketchikan for 11 years before moving to KRBD about a year ago. First and foremost, radio stations are mandated by the federal government to serve their communities of license as public trustees. This means they are a part of those communities and have a duty to engage citizens and work to ensure their safety and well-being. The existence of the emergency alert system and other systems are a large part of that mandate. In rural communities, public broadcasting is sometimes the only means to send and receive vital information for communities in that area. Many places in Alaska are considered underserved rural areas which rely on public broadcasters. And it may not seem to be that case in Southeast Alaska, but there are communities on our neighboring islands that are only served by our translator signals. In these places, we are a hub for news, sports, and information. In Ketchikan, where there are commercial stations and other choices, we enact our mission of serving the public differently. We are perhaps the last bastion of truly public access. There are numerous nonprofit organizations that visit our station weekly to record PSAs, native language modules, and other programs, do on-air interviews, and provide cultural enrichment to our audience. Our large family of volunteers represents a wide cross-section of community members, and many of them have been with us since their teens. There is no college station at UAS Ketchikan. Community members with the desire to learn about broadcasting can cut their teeth at KRBD. We're a member of the Local Emergency Planning Commission, the only station in the area with radio in a box, which is a portable station and tower that can be set up in event of a disaster. And we are working to become the LP1, which is the primary EAS broadcaster for the area.
Thank you, sir.
Proposed cuts represent an $81,000 hit to our annual budget, and I ask legislature to take time to see the value in public radio. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have Anita Maxwell, followed by Lisa Pearson?
Good afternoon. My name is Anita Maxwell, and I'm here today in support of funding for public radio, including Ketchikan's public radio station, KRBD. Public radio is an essential service in Ketchikan and throughout Alaska. Our community relies on KRBD for accurate, timely, and unbiased information. While KRBD certainly provides enriching entertainment, it does so much more. From knowing whether or not my daughter will want school lunch that day based on the school report to learning about local issues, KRBD provides my family with information that helps us throughout the day. KRBD brings the community together through meaningful dialogue and outreach to all walks of life and all ages. This is especially true for those homebound, or island-bound in our case, community members who rely on KRBD for their connection to the world. I personally have looked to public radio for 20 years to connect me to my community, my state, and the world. I've helped produce educational programming for public radio and other jobs, and for the last 6 years have used KRBD as a resource to share information and to educate. I've seen the immense impact the public radio has on individuals and organizations. Just this morning, after returning from a quick interview at KRBD, I had 3 phone calls from community members wanting more information about some of our local resources. KRBD is vital to the health and safety of our Southeast Alaska communities, and I encourage you to maintain the current funding for public radio. Public radio is an essential service, and it is well worth the investment. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Anita. Lisa Pearson, followed by Margaret Clavey.
My name is Lisa Pearson, and I am the Adult Services Librarian at the Ketchikan Public Library. I would like to address the proposed elimination of all funding for the Alaska OWL Project. Through broadband subsidies and a video conferencing network, OWL provides the infrastructure for statewide communication and collaboration for state, municipal, tribal, and nonprofit agencies in 96 communities. By using the OWL network to conduct regional meetings and training sessions, Alaskan agencies have the ability to save hundreds of thousands of dollars in travel costs and hundreds of hours in lost productivity time. Ketchikan is fortunate enough to have jet service, but for the residents of small communities like Craig, Kaktovik, and Sandpoint, the burden in time and money to attend meetings in person is prohibitive. The OWL network allows remote communities to be active members of statewide and regional partnerships and their residents to get the training and education they need for economic and personal growth without undue financial burden. For the people in my community, this means a deaf man is able to get job counseling with the Department of Labor by video conferencing with an interpreter in Anchorage. This means people in Ketchikan can video conference with the Social Security Administration to conduct their disability hearings rather than having to travel to Seattle. It means a teacher in our school district can actively participate in a meeting about graduation standards without having to go to Anchorage. This type of communication and collaboration is extremely important to everyone in the state. For municipal and state government agencies that are looking for ways to trim costs, using the OWL network to conduct meetings rather than flying all the participants to a central location can yield huge savings in both time and money. The portion of departmental funding that is currently earmarked for travel costs can be used for other purposes while still allowing for communication within and between government departments and other agencies. Alaskan communities are remote. That is the essence of Alaska. But we do not have to be isolated. OWL allows all Alaskans to work together to promote economic, social, and personal growth. Please do not pull the plug on this necessary infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Margaret Clavey, followed by Caitlin Jacobson.
Hi, this is Margaret Clavey. I'm just representing myself as a resident of Ketchikan, and I'm asking that you reinstate sufficient funding for public broadcasting. For 35 years, Ketchikan's public radio station, KRBD, has been an important reason for my choice to live here. As a teacher, I took groups of students to tour KRBD. Children from way back then have grown up to volunteer at the station. Some have had their own volunteer shows. Some use the skills they've learned in their jobs. KRBD is truly a public community station. Listening to our public radio daily, I hear candidate forums for local elections, which helps me be a more informed voter. I hear info from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, emergency alerts, jobs reports. We have outstanding local news reports, and then you can go to the website and they link to other information about a topic that's on the news, which is great. I hear reporting from communities all over Alaska, which helps me be more familiar with the other people in Alaska who are so remote from where we are here. I learn native languages in little snippets on KRBD. There's call-in shows on everything from gardening to public safety to the arts. It's just the list goes on. Our local public radio station, KRBD, educates, informs, brings generations together, and it brings folks with diverse backgrounds and beliefs together. And it makes us better Alaskans and happier Alaskans. Please do not drastically cut our public funding for our public broadcasting. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Caitlin Jacobson, followed by Mike Yorso. Yorso.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Jacobson. I am the librarian at Ketchikan High School. Sorry, can't talk very well. I am here today to address the drastic and inequitable nature of the proposed cuts to our state budget. We are in a fast-paced, tech-dependent world. Access to information is critical. It is essential for our students and our communities to have resources that provide access necessary to 21st century success. A wide variety of services make our state less isolated. We need to carefully examine any changes. Current proposed cuts will be devastating and will cut off our residents from 21st century resources they need. These essential services include programs such as public broadcasting and broadband access. Public radio provides unbiased reporting and programming that keeps our residents informed, an essential element of democracy. Our communities also rely on broadband services that have only recently been brought above substandard levels across the state. Cuts to the OWL program and other broadband services will be devastating. Lake Minchumina Library, for example, wrote that through the OWL program, they now have broadband. The only broadband available in a geographic area the size of Ohio. As many residents have testified today, we have many essential services to fund. Please keep our most isolated and needy at the forefront of your deliberations. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Mike Giroso.
My name is Mike Giroso, and I'm with Alaska Escrow and Title in Ketchikan. I'm very concerned about the possibility of closing 6 recording districts in rural Alaska, serving 11 rural recording districts. The closing of these offices will have a very serious effect on how real property transactions in these areas will be handled. Although recording documents can be done using Simplifile for e-recording, many recordings will still have to be presented to a recording office for recording, especially those recordings being handled by individuals or small offices. In the 3 recording districts served by the Ketchikan Recording Office, only 2 businesses even have Simplifile at this time. It is obvious that local attorneys, surveyors, real estate offices, banks, credit unions, and others who rely on the recorder's office would rather present the recording in person, or they would have executed an agreement with Simplifile. I'm quite familiar with what can happen when you close a recorder's office. In 1984, I was affiliated with the only title insurance agency ever to open an office in Bethel, Alaska. That office served both the Bethel and Kuskokwim recording districts. For one reason or another, the Bethel recorder's office was closed for a long period of time. I do not remember just how long it was closed. However, it was long enough that the title insurance agency was forced to move to Anchorage to be in the same location as the recording office. The closing of the Bethel recording office happened during a downturn in the economy for the state of Alaska related to the oil industry. Doesn't that sound familiar? Between the slow economy and the forced move of the business did not survive. The real estate industry has had to weather a few storms and more on the way. On August 1st of this year, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau is placing additional regulations on how the financing of real estate will be happening. A part of the new regulation will add an additional 3 days to the time it takes to close a loan to purchase a home. Standing in this room, 3 days may not sound like much. However, after those 3 days go by, you mail or Gold Street the documents to the recorder's office. This will take a few days most of the time. However, if you're in rural Alaska, you have seen times where a week would go by without seeing an airplane. With no airplane, there's no Gold Street, no mail, no communication.
Sir, could you wrap up, please?
There are many people who are really dependent on this recorder's office. It will be a shame to see it close. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris French, followed by Les Cronk.
Thank you. My name is Chris French. I'm the Director of Planning and Community Development for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, and I want to talk today about the proposed closing of the Ketchikan District Recorder's Office. Several departments within the Ketchikan Gateway Borough utilize the Ketchikan District Recorder's Office on a regular basis. If the local office closes, the borough will be required to file most documents electronically or by mail, which will cost approximately an additional cost of $1,400 per year. Many recorded documents affecting property owners are not available on the state recorder's website. Without the Ketchikan District Recorder's Office, residents will most likely seek property information at the borough, which will necessitate the allocation of additional borough resources to provide services eliminated by the state. The Ketchikan office serves 70 outlying communities. If this office is closed, the nearest office will be in Juneau, which will add to the travel and postage costs for people living in remote areas. As you consider your operating budget, House Bill 72, we ask you to consider the importance of the Ketchikan Recorder's Office to Southern Southeast Alaska. It is our firm belief that the dollars saved at the state level by consolidating recorders' offices would not offset the cost and loss of services to the residents of Ketchikan and other communities in Southern Southeast Alaska. Therefore, I urge you to not close the Ketchikan District Recorder's Office. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Les Kronk, followed by Eric Nichols.
My name is Les Kronk. I'm employed by Southeast Evidorian Corporation here in Ketchikan, a company that's been involved in the timber industry in Southeast Alaska for over 63 years. I personally have been involved in the timber industry for over 30 years. The timber industry's taken some pretty big hits over the last 30 years, and as you guys face the challenging task of cutting budgets, you have to look closely at what's going to be generating the revenue that's going to keep the state operating. And timber is one of those natural resources that does generate revenue. And it's a critical role in Southeast Alaska that the state timber office continue to operate at some level. Cuts may be necessary, but at some level we need people on the ground to be helping the state timber become accessible to the market. The industry here has been very dependent on the state timber due to the failure of our largest landowner, the federal government, to supply the timber that's needed to keep this industry and the infrastructure available. So I ask you to seriously consider maintaining some level of timber office here. As you've heard the testimony of Mr. Slenkamp, there's some good revenue that's been coming to the state from timber to the Mental Health Trust, university, as well as the Division of Forestry, and that revenue is going to be important moving forward as the state has to continue to struggle with decreasing budgets. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Eric Nichols, followed by Denise Uroso.
Thank you for your time, sir. My name's Eric Nichols. I've been 25 years in the timber industry in Alaska here. I'm one of the owners of Alcan Forest Products and Evergreen Timber Company. We have 100-plus employees in the state of Alaska. We buy state of Alaska timber sales, mental health timber trust lands, University of Alaska, U.S. forest timber sales, and other private lands. It takes all of these landowners to generate enough timber volume to have a viable timber business in Southeast Alaska. If Department of Forestry timber sale program is eliminated in Southeast Alaska, a current timber operator will be eliminated in Alaska. There's just not enough volume to sustain the weakened existing industry as it is today. With the reduction of another timber operator, Mental Health Trust, University of Alaska, and the other private landowners will generate less revenue for their trust share. Department of Forestry's timber sale program in Southeast can generate positive income for the state of Alaska. We just started a 150-acre timber sale, state of Alaska timber sale, that will generate $1 million income to the state. With a sustained timber harvest yield of 12 million board feet per year, this generates $1 to $2 million in revenue to the state, plus it generates another $6 to $7 million in expenditures to all the local communities in the harvesting of this timber. Keep the Department of Forestry timber sales in Southeast and generate positive income for the state.
Thank you, sir. Denise, followed by Sam Hernandez.
Good afternoon. My name is Denise Chisaro, and I am the district recorder for the Ketchikan Office, Department of Natural Resources. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this afternoon. I'm appearing today to urge you to keep the six single-staffed recorder's offices open. The mission statement for the recorder's office states in part, the state recorder's office administers the statewide recording system and the Uniform Commercial Code. Our mission is to provide a secure, accessible, and impartial place to record and preserve the permanent public record of Alaska as directed by statutes under 19 separate titles and by regulations in 11 AAC06. It goes on. These offices are the singular point of access to all of the recorded public records. There is nowhere else the public has access to these records. They serve approximately 50,000 residents living in the remote areas of Alaska. That's approximately 7% of the state's population. The Ketchikan office services are available to approximately 20,000 residents in the area, including Petersburg and Wrangell. The other offices serve major ports, such as Valdez, Homer, Bethel. The main port on the Kuskokwim River is an administrative and transportation hub for 56 villages in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I believe my husband talked about the devastating effect that the closure of the Bethel office had on his business. These offices serve various local government agencies, attorneys, banks, title companies, and surveyors, as well as the general public. Access to these offices is vital to the healthy economic climate of each district and, by extension, the state. A cursory glance at the number of documents recorded in each district does not give an accurate picture of the work done in each office. My office assists other districts by indexing and verifying current documents. I have corrected thousands of records in our extensive database for districts throughout the state. I see many, many people, individuals, would like to record their own documents that do not have any other place to do so. I understand that closing these offices would result in a savings to the state of $284,000. This seems to be a very small price tag for the services being provided. I hate to see anyone lose their job. And
ma'am, could you wrap up, please?
But I also understand the need for the state to operate within its budget. I ask that you look for savings in other areas. Maybe cut a position in an office with multiple employees rather than completely close an office. Maybe
ma'am,
three or four new vehicles are not purchased this year. These types of reductions...
Ma'am, could you wrap up, please, and have consideration for the other people who would like to testify?
Sure. My hope is that the decisions you make will result in the least harm done to the residents of this great state. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sam Hernandez.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Sam Hernandez, and I'm a PE teacher in one of our elementary schools. I'm asking for your support in keeping wellness funds available to our schools. Wellness grants help our students of all ages to learn the proper skills and to fight obesity. 42% of our students in Ketchikan are categorized as obese. Wellness funds provide new equipment and after-school programs to help our students stay active. Our present wellness staff is always planning new programs and activities to help our students. Funding is essential. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.